Hi, I'm Nancy Adams, and I'm one of the deacons here at Northgate Community Church. I was asked to talk on faithfulness today as we go through the fruits of the Spirit. I chose to take a personal story to show how God's faithfulness met me in my doubts and helped me find my faithfulness in God. So before we get started today, let me open up with prayer. Lord, as we discover today how you are always faithful to your people, may you be glorified in my message. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody heard the phrase, testing of your faith? I know it sounds like we should all know what that means, but some of us learn the hard way. Now, I've had a little testing in my life, and I feel I passed with the assurance that God was well pleased with my unwavering faith. Kudos to me. That was until March of 2009 when I was diagnosed with CLL. That's chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It's a type of cancer that of the blood and bone marrow. It also affects the lymph nodes and the spleen. But I was reassured by my doctors that if I was going to have leukemia, that was the one to have because it was slow growing and usually had you would have 10 to 15 years before your spleen would explode. I was not comforted by his words. In fact, for the next 4 weeks, I was in a grievous state of mind. During that time, I imagined John, my husband, marrying my best friend, Ruthie, the day after my funeral, and my kids were asking each other, what was that lady's name who made us eat tofu hot dogs and made us drink fresh pressed vegetable juice? Where was my faith? I was clearly in a test, but I could not redirect my focus on God instead of my circumstances. I knew I was in a test because I was in a grievous state of mind, and I was failing the test. I was growing weary. I had my eyes on the task and not on God. I had to do something. I was desperate. My sister gave me scriptures to read, one being from 1 Peter 1. You rejoice in this, even though for a short time if necessary. You suffer in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beautiful promises of God. To rejoice and prove the character of my faith, which would result in praise, glory, and honor of Jesus. But did I practice it, take it to heart? No. I had verses similar to these verses in my pant pockets, in my jacket pockets, in my car on sticky notes, on the mirror in the bathroom so I could see them first thing when I arose from a sleepless night. I had them everywhere, and yet I still did not believe the promise of God and remained in a grievous state of mind. One problem I had was who was in control over my life. As some of you know, I was a wife and a mother of four. Even though they weren't living at home during this time, I was still a very scheduled person. I took care of the finances, yard work, cleaning of the house, shopping, and I had a part-time job to boot. I was in control. This was not on my calendar of life. So 4 weeks later of grievous living, another unscheduled test came when John found out he tested positive for esophageal cancer, a very aggressive type of cancer. Mind you, I haven't passed the first test yet. I am truly in a state of rebellion, trying to control my life, which is clearly out of control. Temporarily, my focus was off of me and onto John. Let me explain what was going on in 2008 and 2009. There was a recession in the land. They called it the Great Recession. Businesses were closing, people were losing their jobs along with their health insurance, and banks were issuing subprime mortgages, and ultimately people were losing their homes. Not a good time to be in rebellion. From April to June, John had started his journey in Dublin, where his oncologist was located. He had gone to San Francisco for a very exclusive test on the only 3D machine like it around to view how extensive his cancer was. Then it was back to San Ramon to set up a major operation with doctors who were specialists in this new kind of non-invasive procedure where his stomach ended up in his chest. After all the planning and deciding the best direction for John to take, it was off to Dublin for 8 weeks of chemo and radiation treatments before his major surgery, which was scheduled in June. During this time, I noticed how calm and at peace John was. Why wasn't he falling apart like me? His cancer was more devastating than mine, and the timeline was very short. He had no fear of dying. In fact, he encouraged random people he met who were going through cancer treatments by telling them about Jesus and what he was doing in his life during this time of his testing. He was truly passing the test and not allowing the task at hand to get in the way of focusing and trusting on God's promises. Then it happened on May 6, 2009, on John's birthday. We were sitting in the car in the parking lot of the oncologist's office, waiting for his chemo appointment, and that's when John told me that the paper mill where he was working was closing permanently in June, the same month when his major esophageal surgery was scheduled. My thoughts was on health insurance. His operation was a major expense to not have insurance. I was overloaded and ready to lose it. I felt alone in anguish. How was I going to fix this? Then God promised, "I am ultimately in control with unlimited power. Keep your eyes on me, and I will never leave you or forsake you." When I thought I couldn't cope with the size of my task, God rescued me from myself. That's the day I started to focus on God's promises and not on my circumstances. I laid down my CLL, John's surgery, health insurance concerns, my whole life at the foot of the cross. I didn't and couldn't control my circumstances anymore. I exchanged my grievous circumstances and I focused on God's promise to see me through the rest of the way, and that he would never leave me or forsake me through my journey. I came out of the wilderness into the promises of God. I found my strength and courage to continue over the next year through John's life, witnessing God's grace and mercy. We were able to pay off our house, and during that year we got COBRA at 1/3 the cost because of the recession. We were blessed, to our surprise, with over $900 that Aaron Bowers and Julia Bilo raised through spaghetti dinners they made and sold at an East Union football game. And then again, to our surprise, we had made more money that year than the previous years, even with John being on disability. God showed up as he promised. I was amazed at all the family and friends wanting to help whenever needed. The scripture Romans 5:2-5 states, "Through him we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confidence assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. And not only this, but with joy let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardships produce patient endurances, and endurance proven character of spiritual maturity, and proven character hope and confidence assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoint us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. All the unbelief and grief that brought me to my knees is truly God's way of maturing me and growing me up, knowing God is ultimately in control, promising that he would never test us beyond our capability. In Genesis 12, we see how Abraham obeyed God by standing on his promises. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you." There are 7 promises God gave Abraham. All he had to do was leave his land and go. Abraham claimed the promises, believed the promises, and stood on the promises with unwavering faithfulness. He folded his tents, gathered his flocks, his large family, and went, even though he wasn't sure where that was. God made Abraham yet another promise, that he would have an heir, a child, even in his old age. God swore an oath that he would keep his promise. God said to Abraham, "You can count on me to be faithful and to fulfill that promise. Trust me." Abraham had to wait till God came through, because he had a purpose, just like he has a purpose in our lives, even though we can't see it yet. We are all being tested today, as the world is experiencing a time such as these, with the effect of the pandemic. We must hold on tight and let God be the anchor in this storm with unwavering faith as we claim the promises, believe the promises, and stand on the promises of God's faithfulness. I will leave you with Philippians 4:4-7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. God is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." I started claiming and believing God's promises with faithfulness, knowing I was not alone, and I could pass the test of unbelief. And I was letting my request be known to God, because he is enough. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Lord, during this time of discomfort, may we count it all joy, knowing that you are in the midst of the storm, because you are the overcomer of the world. May we claim your promises, believe your promises, and stand on your promises, holding tight and letting you be the anchor in this storm with unwavering faith. Let us not be like the Israelites in the wilderness, but faithfully claiming the promised land with arms lifted high, glorifying you always. Amen.